Welcome to Tori Mecha Parsha. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us this Sunday, Tisha B'Av, for a powerful video presentation, Holding On to Faith. We will hear firsthand from Mrs. Sylvia Sarah Richter and Mrs. Betty Sved, two Holocaust survivors who were able to maintain their faith despite the horrors they experienced. The presentation will be available on demand on Tisha B'Av. For more details, go to ou.org/women/3weeks22, the numeral 3 weeks 22. Wishing you an easy and meaningful fast, and may we merit to see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt speedily in our day. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Torat Imecha Parsha of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkap, and today we will be learning Parashat Dvarim. Before we begin delving into this parasha itself, we need to do an overview of this sefer, which is unique among the five books of the Chumash. Unlike the four books that are comprised of narrative and commandments, all presented in the third person, Sefer Dvarim is written almost entirely in the first person. It is comprised of a series of speeches delivered by Moshe Rabbeinu in the last month of his life. It is, if you will, a last will and testament in which he prepares the generation that is about to go in and conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael after 40 years of sojourning in the desert. He is intent to warn the new generation, some of whom had not been born when the Torah was given at Har Sinai, that they must not repeat the mistakes made by their parents, which led to them being condemned to die in the desert and sojourn from place to place for 40 years until a new generation, born free, unburdened by a slave mentality, would be allowed to enter the land promised to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. At this point, Moshe Rabbeinu knows that he will not escort the people into the land. He is condemned to die in the desert, and he leaves no grave, he leaves no monument, except this sefer, which is comprised of several major speeches that he made to the people prior to his death. In our parasha, we have his first introductory speech. It begins in the 6th verse of the first chapter and ends in the 40th verse of the 4th chapter. Thereafter will begin a very long main speech, which begins in chapter 5 of the book of Dvarim and will end in chapter 26. And is comprised of a recitation and repetition of various mitzvot that had already been discussed elsewhere, a introduction of mitzvot not written elsewhere, and above all, a clarification why the children of Israel must keep these mitzvot as conditions for holding on to the land and maintaining their sovereignty and freedom as a chosen people. The book will end with a tochacha, an admonishment, in which Moshe Rabbeinu warns the people of the horrific things that will befall them should they abrogate the terms of the covenant and violate the Torah and the commandments that were given to them. And finally, in the 29th and 30th chapter, He will introduce the concept of tshuva, of repentance, and the ability for a person to atone for his sins, to change and grow and learn from his mistakes. The closing chapter represent the last days of Moshe's life, his blessings to the people that he will no longer see, his wishes for them, his warnings to them, and finally, his demise. The book is called Mishneh Torah, which might imply that it is a repetition. And indeed, there are mitzvot, as well as narratives, that have been told elsewhere, but sometimes with a variation, which we will discuss. Moshe is addressing a generation that will settle the land, and he manages to summarize in our parasha the major events that seem to cause a delay in the conquest of the land and in its settlement, and condemned the generation that left Egypt to die in the desert. He will begin by focusing on the story of the spies, for they are the ones that caused the great sin that ultimately condemned the first generation to death in the desert, a generation that was living in slavery and could not seem to assume the responsibility of an independent, free choice, adulthood that the Torah demanded of them. However, before he begins to explain the major events that caused the delay of Yishuv Haaretz and Kibusha, the settlement of the land and the conquest of that land from the seven nations that populated that land, there is an interruption of the story of the appointment of judges. I would like to be able to focus on that because it doesn't seem to belong here. If the purpose of the retelling was to explain why a previous generation could not settle the land, the issue of appointment of judges, which certainly was no sin at all. And he begins with it on the 9th verse. He tells us as follows, as you left Har Sinai, va'amar aleichem ba'et ahi, and so I told you at that time, when we were encamped around the mountain of Sinai, Lemor lo chal levadi set etchem. I told you at that time, and now comes that pesky little word, Lemor, which usually is treated as a quotation mark, saying, I will not be able to bear you, to carry you all by myself. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that at the time they were still at Har Sinai, before they sinned with the spies, before they had hesitation about going into Eretz Yisrael, he felt it important to appoint an entire network of legislation and adjudication that would prepare them for entering the land. And at this time, he describes it as, I knew that I would be inadequate, or it seems that he said so. Rashi is terribly troubled by this, because the word lemor, though usually translated as saying, is completely unnecessary here. I said to you at that time, and why do I need the word saying? After all, he is paraphrasing his own words. Particularly, says Siftei Chachamim, since the word lemor, contrary to most popular translations of the Bible, does not mean saying. Lemo means one of three things. To say to others, I told you at that time to say to others. To whom is this generation supposed to relay this? It makes no sense here. It is also used when I speak to someone expecting a response. I am asking you a question and I'm waiting for your answer. The third reason for lemo is when I sent a messenger and I ask the messenger to quote what I said and await a response and bring back the response to me. It is not a verbal quotation mark. What then does it mean here? Comes Rashi and says, at that time I said to you something that Hashem told me to say. I didn't do this on my own. I was compelled to do this. Lo me'atzmi, ani omer, ela mipi hakadosh baruch hu. And Rashi here is quoting the Sifri. If that's the case, it was not that Moshe felt inadequate. It's that Hashem told him, you cannot continue to do this on your own. I want you to go tell the people that you can't bear this by yourself. And they must appoint judges. They must appoint representatives of the tribes from whom you will pick those that are worthy to serve as judges to help adjudicate disputes among the people, help ensure that there is justice in the land, help ensure that there is somebody who will be decisors of halacha when they are settled in the land. For God was preparing the people to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu is merely mortal. As a mortal human being, we need to prepare a framework that would last throughout the generations. Consequently, Moshe is now bringing this up again because he is finding himself in the same position. A position in which he knows now for sure that he will not follow them. And he knows that death is imminent. And the people must assume responsibility for picking leaders that are both knowledgeable, honest, impartial, and completely reliable. And if they are corruptible, if people pick leaders that they think they can bribe, they have only themselves to blame and not their leaders for the disaster that will befall the society that they will ultimately create. Ibn Ezra wants us to understand, lo uchal, I cannot, does not necessarily mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is unable at this point in time to carry the burden of Am Yisrael. And that's exactly what Rashi pointed out. Efshar shelo haya Moshe yachol ladun et Yisrael? Is it possible that Moshe was inadequate to the job? Adam shehotziya memitzrayim vekara lahem et hayam. A man who took them out of Egypt. A man who went and split the sea. A man who went and brought down the man and brought down the quail for them to eat. He could not possibly manage 600,000 adult males? Nonsense, says Ibn Ezra. The word lo uchal can mean I cannot, but it can also mean I should not. It also can mean I may not. And that is the way it is used in many places in the Torah. Even if I can, I would not, because Hashem does not want me to. I should not, because you, your people, must begin to assume a lot of the responsibilities that I've been carrying. You are adequate to the job, And Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to bolster their confidence and undo their fears and teach them and guide them that they can, that they're able, and that Hashem will be with them when they go into Eretz Yisrael to conquer it. That is the purpose of his book here. And that is the purpose of his first speech. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to learning with you again next week.